Good morning. Greet each one of you in the name of Jesus. It's good to see each one out here. Thankful for each one of you ladies that are here that help with the singing. Us men just don't do very well alone, do we? Our voices kind of get a little growly but glad for each one that is here. May this part of the worship service be a worship to God, to Jesus, and may it not be man's attention or anything like that, because this is about bowing for Jesus and just worshiping Him for who He is, allowing Him to speak to us. We have different aspects of the service and it adds beauty, but just looking forward to what God has here, this part of the service. I'm not sure, it just feels like that God has been just leading and guiding one step at a time this week. Didn't feel like I had a revelation way on ahead. And then this subject here, I feel is a little bit random. So I don't know what God has for it. This week has been a little bit of a struggle, to be honest with you, in my life, on different levels. And I just, I'm thankful for Jesus. But I'm not sure what all the battle was all about. But I had a couple things I had to speak at school this week, and so I was thinking about that, and then also a message, and with the switch up of not going with the continuing with the baptism discussion, I was like, "Okay, God, what do you want?" And I guess I had the school devotions and then just spending time with God again. Like, God, do you want me just to dive in deeper on this? Or is there something totally different? And I guess we'll dive in a little bit deeper on the school devotions. So those of you that were at school, hopefully you can just learn more from it. I did retitle a little bit, restructured it some. If Lord willing, I might do the object lesson on it just to add some variety and maybe bring a point in a little bit deeper. Jesus did that all the time in His teaching, all the time. He either told stories or had object lessons or set the children on His knees or looked at the stones and said, "Hey, what about that?" Told stories. So the subject, I titled Self-Control or Self-Control. Controlled. It's a little bit play on the words this morning, so I hope you don't get mixed up with that. But self-control or self-controlled. So what does it look like to you, or what does self-control look like to you? Or I can ask the difference with the title here. Is there a difference between self-control or self-controlled? As I was thinking about this a little bit, there was just different thoughts that ran through my mind, because we think about self-control and we think, go to the scripture and we're like, is that biblical? So what does it mean when it says in scripture, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Or without me, you can do nothing. Or mortify, therefore, your members. Or all your righteousness is as filthy rags. So does the Bible contradict itself? So is there a difference between self-control or self-controlled? So as in thinking about the message this morning and these words, play on words, I'm going to take self-control and try to break them apart. Self-control, looking more on self-controlling, or self-controlled, more of God, Spirit-controlled. So does the scripture talk about possessing self-control? does the scripture talk about self-controlled? A little bit of shaking head, a little bit of staring into space, a little bit of pondering. I like to think of this morning about self-control can be the old nature. If you look in Galatians, and I don't think I bring this verse in the message this morning, but in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the word temperate there is another word for self-control. But I'm going to be applying that more to self-controlled. So self-control, when I'm thinking of that this morning, it's the thought of the old nature, or it's thinking of the old nature is in control, or where our will is still prominent, or where we come in with the mindset that if I have to try, I need to white-knuckle this. Thinking more on self-controlling. We need to grip it. We need to try harder. We need to white-knuckle this. And really, that is pride and fear-based when I'm thinking of self-control this morning. Now, self-controlled, I'm putting the emphasis different there. Self-controlled is the thought of the old nature is crucified. We are under the lordship of Jesus. We are still a person with a three-part being. We have our personality, our passions, our identities, our giftings, etc. We are still a person, but our old nature is dead. Self is under the control of Jesus. We as a person, a being that still needs to make decisions, God made us and placed us here for a purpose. We are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Are you following with me? So I don't want to play on words. I don't want to get us all befuddled. I'm hoping to be able to come through clear with this. Now, there will be a fine line between when it's self doing it and when it's self or us as an individual making the right choices with God's help. Sometimes looking on, we talked this morning about assumptions and coming up with putting a mark on somebody without hearing the whole story. But there's a fine line, even in our own lives, we sometimes ask the question, why am I doing what am I doing? Why am I making the choices I'm making? Why am I pushing in on the situation? Is it self-control or is it self-controlled under the lordship of Jesus Christ? As I'm thinking about self-control, it's a broad subject. Look at any area in your life. Sometimes when we think something is out of control, we think that, well, that's obvious. It's radical. It's crazy. I mean, that is out of control. And maybe you might be able to look at ourselves and say, boy, I have an area in my life that is really out of control. Sometimes, or what I'm thinking this morning is, anything that is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ, is it out of control? So look at all areas of your life. Are you under the lordship of Jesus Christ? That you can say, self is control. Self is dead. Self, I as an individual, am under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God is not a bully or a manipulator. He will not make choices for us. We choose Him. He empowers those choices. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and 14. And I choose these verses because it goes in there and how God says, I have everything planned out for you. I even make a way of escape for you. But you as an individual needs to make that choice for that way of escape. Now we think about that in areas of temptation. But in all areas of our life, God will not come down. He did not make us as a robot this morning. So there is an aspect that we need to make choices, but we need to do it under the lordship and power of Jesus Christ. He is the one that is empowering. He is the one that will work out the situation as we make choices and follow Him. Sometimes we get muddled up in thinking it's a works salvation, it's a works religion. And we can get in the weeds in that. God ultimately has His plan. We discussed that in Sunday school a little bit, where He works things out, but He wants us to choose Him and His way and he empowers and makes allows it to work out. So it's not a works religion, but yes, we do need to make the choice. David Mathis quotes, "True self-control is not about bringing ourselves under our own control, but under the power of Christ." Living in self-control is man living in self-control. Is man dealing with the external expression? So self-control without the lordship of Jesus is man dealing with the external expressions. I got to do better this. I got to white-knuckle this. I need to try harder. I need to make sure everything is worked out. Is man dealing with the external expressions where when we live self-controlled is double-faceted? We recognize and deal with the externals, but more importantly, we deal with the internal, the underlying feed, the physical, emotional, and spiritual part. We are self-controlled. We are under the control of the lordship of Jesus Christ. We, yes, deal with the external, but we go farther than that. We look under and say, God, show me what is feeding what I'm doing. What is feeding the choices I'm making? What is feeding who I am today? What is feeding my reactions or passivity? What is feeding me as a person? Then I had to think a little bit about self-control and self-discipline. You might ask the question, is there or what is the difference between self-control or self-discipline? I know Madison talked about self-discipline the other night at prayer meeting, and I was all of a sudden like, am I going down the same road here? Yes and no. Self-discipline, so I studied into it a little bit and try to break it apart just a little bit. Self-discipline is the long-range goals of who you want to be or how you want to live. It's the long-range goal. I want to be a self-disciplined person in this area or that area or so forth or so on. Self-control is the moment-by-moment decisions made in which builds a self-disciplined life. Self-control is the moment-by-moment decisions made in which builds a self-disciplined life. So you want a self-disciplined life. You also need self-control feeding into that to build a self-disciplined life. You need self-control feeding into that. I think I got my words mixed up on that. You want a self-disciplined life. You need self-control feeding in to build that self-disciplined life. I feel like I'm getting my words mixed up here this morning. So I'm going to do the object lesson. I'm going to look at dangers. So I'm going to look at several points. Dangers of the lack of being self-controlled. What are some dangers in that? What are some, maybe this is not all conclusive, but what are some maybe principles or aspects in building a self-controlled life? What are some blessings of a self-controlled life? So I'm going to just do a little object lesson here. As we think about self-controlled, I'm just going to use that term just as a broad overview, not trying to break it apart here now. But as we think about a self-controlled life, self-control, I'm not sure why, okay, I never took that out. Self-controlled life is a life that happens, that comes, or a lack of self-control life even comes from an aspect of things that happen to us. Things that take place in our lives will affect our lives, whether we be self-controlled or not. So this morning, I'm just going to do two demonstrations of it just to make it interesting. But this bottle represents our lives. This water in here represents things that come into our lives. And you think about it, everything that comes into our lives, we need to deal with in some way or another. Either we will become passive about it and not care, maybe we will deal with it in a healthy, proper way, or maybe we'll just go get confused with it and we'll be out of control with it. Maybe we'll react to it. But things in our lives they come in and affect our lives. Basically, this is just a bottle of water. But this represents a person without Jesus. And a person without Jesus is like you and I with Jesus. Things come into our lives and they affect our lives in one way or another. And what are we going to do with that stuff that affects our lives? Will we affect our lives and we deal with it in a controlled manner, in a manner of control that is governed by the Holy Spirit? Or will we deal with it in a way where it just takes us out of control? We react. And if you see this, and if I would be bad enough, I would go and let you guys be affected by this out-of-control person. But this out-of-control person is not dealing properly with the things that is in his life or her life. And it's coming out and making a mess. It's coming out and affecting. And I could walk over and this out-of-control situation would affect each one of us. But as this person sees what is happening in his life, he sees that things are not right. The things in his life is going out and making a mess of his situation and affecting others. As this person realizes that there needs to be something or someone else in his life, he brings on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into his life. And the Holy Spirit says, I want to control your life. I want to lead in your life so that the things that come to you can be a benefit to you and to others. That out of control stops because the Holy Spirit has come in control of the person's life. This now can be beneficial. If I wanted to, I could take a drink, but I won't because of the setting an object lesson. It'll start leaking again. But what do you and I do? When we behold the face of Jesus, we come to two choices in life. We will either accept or we will reject. We can either allow the things that come into our life to be healed, to be purposed, and to be missioned under the control of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Or we can allow the holes that are happening, the woundedness, the brokenness in our lives to just cause the things that are inside to just spill out of control. Now I'm just going to do one other just for the sake of interesting, but it can bring on the same thing. This again is a person that has things in his life, that they have things that are happening. Each one of us do. This same person can try to work and try to keep in and try to allow the things that are in his life to be worthwhile, but it doesn't happen. This person, again, can bring on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as they bring on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it controls the things that are inside of them, allows that things to be beneficial, allow things to be good. Anyways, just thought I would share that. I shared it at school, and I thought maybe it'd be interesting. Self-control or self-controlled? Let's look a little bit. Proverbs 25:28. Dangers of the lack of being self-controlled. Dangers of just of not allowing ourselves to be under the control and the lordship of Jesus Christ. A lack of being self-controlled opens one's life to harm and a lot of brokenness. And Proverbs 25:28 gives a good picture of a person who is out of control, a person who lacks being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Proverbs 25:28, and it's only a short verse, but let your mind wander a little bit. We don't have cities today with walls necessarily, but you picture a city that is supposed to be a safe place, a place where you live, a place where you interact, a place where you can trust each other, a place that you know the enemy cannot come in. But this city is broken down. This city is torn apart. The walls are down. What does that do to the mindset and the emotions and the processing of the people that are in the city? What does it do to you when you know you're not in a safe place? That verse says, a person without self-control, it's the NLT, I'm going to read it in, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. The enemy has free access. It doesn't have to climb the walls. It doesn't have to burst open the gates. It doesn't have to beg and plead and manipulate and try to deceive to get into the city. It has free access. So you and I this morning are a city. And when self is not under the control of the Lordship of Jesus, when self is trying to control your life, it's like a city that is broken down. It's a place that is out of control. There's no governing anymore. There's no safety. There's no protection. This lack opens one's life for the enemy to have free access. When we are trying to control ourselves, when things are getting out of control, we are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. When self is not controlled and not dealt with, it gives the enemy free access. This gives a foothold for the enemy's cause. It gives a foothold for the enemy to come in, because we are saying yes to self over having Jesus be Lord of our decisions. Like a city with broken down walls, our lack of self-control creates a lot of fear and unrest in our lives, in the lives of those around us. Just like that water bottle, if I would have been disturbing enough, I could have walked back through, and that water bottle would have had an effect on each one of you where the water hit you. It would have affected you, and it would have made you think something. Like, man, why did he get me with that water? Oh, now my Bible's wet. Oh, now look at my clothes. So it is with each one of us. When we are trying to control self, or when self is in control, it is creating fear. It is creating unrest. It is creating questions. It's creating disturbances, because self is not under the control of the lordship of Jesus Christ, just like a city with broken down walls. Another verse, and I felt like it kind of went along with it, but it's 2 Timothy 1:7. There's two things in this verse I underline, because I feel like this verse gives a picture, but it doesn't necessarily talk directly to self-control or self-controlled. Yes, it does talk about self-control under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I underlined spirit of fear and underlined sound mind in that verse. Because this verse here, I believe, gives a picture that when God is in control of our lives, when we have given over ourselves over to Him, when self is controlled, we do not need to have fear. We can have a sound mind. We will be able to think properly with the things that are coming into our lives and how to deal with them. I wrote here, a lack of self-control is a lack of spirit control, which results in a spirit of fear. A sound mind is a mind that has self-controlled. I hope you're able to differentiate when I use the two different words. If you think about it, really, a lack of self-control creates a false worship. And when that happens, a lot of unrest comes into our lives. When self is in control, a lot of unrest comes in because it's a wrong worship. We're bowing to a false altar. Now, I use that analogy, it comes out of the Old Testament, but let me explain. You're bowing before a false altar. My out-of-control desires or passions or decisions are dictating my life, and I'm bowing before them instead of the will of my Father. And the thing is, we can be doing that all the time with the label Christian. How many of us are coming either through these doors or through church doors across the world, and they say, I'm a Christian, But yet all the time they're bowing down before their own passions, desires, and false altars and false worship. And then we wonder, why are we controlled by fear? We wonder, why is things in my life so disrupted? Because there's this blend. We're trying to make this blend. We say we're a Christian, but yet there's things in our lives where we place above Jesus. A city with broken down walls is dangerous. A life that is self-controlled is dangerous unless it comes self-controlled under the power and lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I say that very blanketed, very overall, especially the last thing about false worship. Remember, we are all in a journey of sanctification. Okay? The problem is where when the Holy Spirit speaks out to us and shows us areas, and we say, no, I'm not ready yet. No, I enjoy that too much. No, I that's being a little too honest. Or, you know, we can make excuses. That's where it becomes dangerous. Now, don't condemn yourself if you're working on an area. Be real with that, honest with that. And that brings me to the next section, the building a life of self-control. And that's my first point, is being honest. To build a life where self is controlled by Jesus, self-controlled, we begins with being honest about the areas of one's life that is out of control, naming it for what it is. I know for me, I think I said at school that an area that can be out of control is eating. I enjoy eating, and I can make a lot of excuses. I can say, well, I need energy to drive, or I need energy today, or you know what, I'm going to make a quick stop here instead of stopping later, I'll just grab a couple things now, or, you know, goes back. That's just one little area. You have different areas in your life. The Holy Spirit can speak to you in the area that maybe you're making excuses in. But being honest about the areas of your life, naming it for what it is. Romans 12, 13 and 14. You can turn there. There's several things that I underline in these verses here, and I bring these verses out. We need to be honest. We need to be dealing with the things that are in our lives. We need to be aware of what is happening. And in these verses, talks about dealing with the excessiveness and not making excuses. Romans 13, 12, 13, and 14. I'm going to read that here at this time. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We see two contrasts happening. We recognize what's going on. We need to deal with the one, and we need to bring on the other if we're going to live a life that is self-controlled. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision to fulfill the lust thereof. Building a life that is self-controlled under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to be honest about what is going on. And that verse picks out what we need to do. Cast off and bring on. It talks in here about walking honestly. As we're walking through life, say, God, what area am I making excuses? And verse 14 says, make not provision. And I took that as saying, don't make any excuses. Let's not make excuses here. Let's not say, you know what, well, I'm just trying to think of an example to give. Think about our modern technology we have right here in our phones, in our hands. And you know what? time to just kick back and relax a little bit. And we start scrolling. It's the area of my life I need to be very much aware of and I need to deal with. And what if things start pulling at me and start getting my attention? Well, it's not too bad, you know. We'll just scroll some more. What's happening? Making excuses. I'm just trying to relax. I'm just trying to kick off the activities of the day. Maybe it's even just simply the thing of time management. You know what? I need a little bit of me time. And I need to just scroll for a while. And are we making excuses? Are we knowing what God wants us to do? He wants us to get engaged even when we're at home in the family, engaged with Him somehow or another, or engaged with relating with the family. I'm just using that. I'm just trying to think of an example where we can make provision for our flesh or not make have any excuses and saying, I want self-controlled by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh. Building a life where self is controlled by Jesus. Honesty is first and foremost. Not allowing room for excuses. I will not have excuses in my life. Building life of self-control is wise to develop healthy habits. And I heard that, came across that this week. And as I was thinking about this message, I was like, that is very critical. Because I'm a person that can be a little bit more random, a little bit more slide by the seat of my pants. You know, we'll get her done somehow, we'll figure it out. But healthy habits is good. Because for me, when I start building something that is too consistent, I'm like, oh, I'm getting kind of into a little bit of a ditch here, just kind of, I can't think of the word now, kind of getting stagnant, you know, that's a little bit too much format, you know, But there's nothing wrong with having some good, healthy habits. Yes, flexibility is good, and I can tend to be a little bit more whatever. But there is something that is healthy about having healthy habits in our lives. Because the phrase that person used was having healthy habits creates an environment for the Holy Spirit to show up and do His work. Take Bible reading. You might say, well, I just want the Holy Spirit to prompt me whenever I need to read my Bible. There's a place maybe for that. But how about building a healthy habit of, you know what, I want to make sure that there's a set time in my day that this gets done. There will be times where you walk away and say, boy, was that even worth my time? But what are you doing? You are creating a space for the Holy Spirit to show up and speak to you. That's just one example. Maybe more on the physical end of things, it's just, you know, getting up at a certain regular time. My job, that is totally blows that out of the water. I get up one time one day, another time another day. But maybe for your life, you can create that healthy habit of getting up at a certain time. It allows the Holy Spirit to be able to meet with you and talk with you. And He can place things in your life at that time because you're going to be up at that time to be able to build His kingdom. I'm just trying to think of some random examples. Anyways, building a life it creates an environment for the Holy Spirit to show up and do His work. Another thing here in building a life of self-control is we need to behold the face of Jesus. To build a life that is self-controlled, controlled by the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we need to be able to behold the face of Jesus. And as I thought about that, my first thought went to the man that was possessed with demons. And you turn to Mark 5, verses 6 and verse 15. Those two verses, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Mark 5, verse 6 and verse 15 brings out two things I want to bring out. When we behold the face of Jesus, think about the disciples. When they beheld the face of Jesus, things happened to them. Things changed. When the woman at the well realized who this man was she was talking to, something changed in her life. Peter, when Jesus looked at him, when he denied him, and he beheld the face of Jesus, something happened to him. What do we do? Or do we allow? That's where healthy habits can come in, where we can have time to behold the face of Jesus. What do we do with that? Mark 5, verse 6. Now, Jesus and his disciples were getting out of the boat. They were walking up the shore, and almost right away, this man that was possessed with devils saw them. They saw him. And this man was radical. This man was out of control. I mean, he couldn't even control himself anymore. I mean, this man was crazy. But when he saw Jesus, says verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, we could go into the weeds with this verse a little bit, but I won't go there. But this man saw Jesus, and this man, I believe, who he really was, worshiped Jesus. Now, the devils also recognized Jesus, and they got scared. And they said, listen, be careful with us. Can we go into a certain place? They were scared. But verse 15, and they came, and they, the crowd of people from the city, they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 16 says that they said, listen, just get out of here, Jesus. Just go. We can't handle this right now. So I ask us this morning, I believe to build a life that is self-controlled, controlled on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to behold the face of Jesus. And we need to be like this man that was possessed with the devil says, we worship you, change me. But maybe there's condemnation. Maybe there's shame that wells up. Is there times where we're like the crowd of people said, just Jesus, get out of here right now. I can't deal with this right now. I hope not. I pray not. I pray that we can be like that man. We worship. He changes us. He changes us. We sit. We sit at his feet. And when others look on, they can say that this man is controlled by the Spirit of God. When we behold the face of Jesus, it will affect us one way or another. To truly bring a change to the out-of-control area or the self-controlled area, we need to love Jesus more than we love the sin. We need to love Jesus more than we love the sin. And I wonder how often that comes too close to home, where we say, man, just be nice to have this for a little bit or to do that for a little bit. Maybe it might not even be that bad. It might be okay at certain times, but not okay for you right now. We need to love Jesus more than we love the sin. One more in building a life of self-controlled. Building a life of self-controlled, we live an answer to a new charge. And this comes out of Romans 12. If you want to turn there, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Familiar verses, may you know them by heart. But I believe this is very important for us. To build a life that is self-controlled, we live an answer to a new charge, a new commission, a new master, if you want to put it that way, a new Lord, we are answering to Jesus. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning, we need to be able to sacrifice our self-will, our self-control that we're living out of. We need to be able to just give that over. And then we are still a person. We still have passions. We still have personality. We still have purpose. But it's under the control and lordship of Jesus Christ, where self is controlled under a new charge, a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable And this doesn't happen over time. Verse 2 says, it's transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a work in progress. It's a journey. Now, what are some of the blessings of self-controlled? When self is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, there are blessings. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 and 6. Beautiful verses. Verses of hope. Verses of purpose. Verses of confidence. One of those blessings is we'll be blessed to be able to walk in the light and be awake to the truth. And I'm so excited about that this morning. That we as individuals here this morning, sometimes we are scared to give up self-control because we feel like it won't happen right. It won't come out the way we want. It's something we deal with. I believe especially for us as men, but I'm sure you as ladies have to deal with it too. But sometimes we feel like we need to do something because we can get it right, right? I think about my kids growing up, and I dealt with it numerous times where I wanted them to do something, but I'm like, boy, will they get it right? Or if I send them out, can I trust that it will even get started? You know what? If I do it, it can happen faster. And self gets in the way. Self-control gets in the way. But giving that up, it frees us. It allows the light of Jesus to come in. When we come under the lordship of Jesus Christ, where self is given over to him, and we receive the blessing when self is controlled by the lordship of Jesus Christ, we have light. We have truth we can walk in. We are awakened to what we're here for. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 and 6 says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. When self is in control, we are in the darkness. We are in the night. We think we can get it figured out. But as we all know, far too often, it doesn't go that way. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober and temperate in the King James Version, or sober and self-control, it often goes hand in hand. A sober mind, a soberness, go hand in hand. Uncontrol or self-control brings darkness and deception. Another blessing is, it brings the blessing of knowing we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I did put this verse down. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, temperate, making decisions and working out of the power of the Holy Spirit. It brings the blessing of knowing we're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and his presence is producing fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 is fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Another word is self-control. Against such, there is no law. The blessing of self-control is that we can develop true, deep strength and experience true meaning in life instead of quick, temporary, conquering events that result in long-lasting brokenness. Turn to Proverbs 16:32. This verse I pondered on for a while because I wasn't quite sure how to put it into everyday language. But as you think about this verse, you ponder on this verse 32. It says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, there's two things that are better here than something else, than two other things. Slow to anger is better, and he that ruleth his spirit is better. Ruleth means self-control, or where I'm putting it, under the control of the Spirit of God. You might think that being mighty is great and awesome. Man, if I can be mighty, man, what better can that be? Whatever you want to put under the definition of mighty. Or maybe as if you're a king and you're conquering, boy, if I can conquer that city, that is great. That is wonderful. Boy, I conquered that city. Or put in everyday English, I conquer something great in my life. Think about what you want to conquer that is earthly and temporary. He that is slow to anger is better. He that is self-controlled, under the control of the lordship of Jesus and making decisions out of that, is better. A mighty man, if not slow to anger, will make great devastation, will ruin a lot of things, because his might is not, it is because his might is controlled by anger. A person that is out conquering things in life but is not able to rule his own spirit will devastate lives, will ruin areas, because he is not under the control. He does not know how to rule his spirit. He is not under the control of Jesus. That's why I say it is so critical. But a blessing that we can have is, let me read that again. It brings the blessing, the blessing of self-controlled is that we can develop true deep strength and experience true meaning in life instead of quick temporary conquering events that result in long-lasting brokenness. Allow the Holy Spirit to control us, ourselves. Allow Him to control that anger. Allow Him to control those passions. Allow Him to control your pursuits. Allow Him to control your greatest desire in life. Allow Him. If not, it brings long-lasting devastation and brokenness. And one more blessing here before we close is the blessing of self-control is that it brings a true win. 1 Corinthians 9, 25, 26, and 27. If you want to turn there, you can do that. It's very familiar verses again. But it talks, King James uses the word temperate here. But I, we're using the word self-controlled this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." Paul is saying here, I don't run just abstract. I just don't run random. I just don't out there running every which direction, darting back and forth. He says, no, he runs with a purpose. He runs with a focus. He runs with self-controlled under the lordship and power of Jesus Christ. "So fight I, not one that beateth the air." Verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." That's my prayer for myself this morning with you all, and that's my prayer for you all this morning. We all are leaders in some way or another. We all are affecting others. We all are teaching others. We all are trying, maybe being a mentor or discipling someone. And you're speaking a lot of truth into their lives. But you, my own life, is it self-controlled? Is it under the lordship of the power of Jesus Christ? That as we are going, we have a purpose, we have a focus. We're not just out there randomly beating the air. As you see someone that's practicing boxing, it looks like they're just there beating the air, doing crazy moves. But if you see something that is literally going on, a race that is literally happening, you see someone that is focused, that is purposed, that is self-controlled. They are temperate, because they don't want to be a loser in the end. And that's my prayer for each one of us this morning, that we run through this life where self is controlled and under the lordship and power of Jesus Christ. Close with this verse, 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8. "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Brothers and sisters, this morning, that is my prayer for us as a body here this morning, and those who aren't here right with us today, that we can walk through life where self is under the lordship and power of Jesus Christ. Let us be self-controlled and sober-minded, and let us love each other earnestly. God bless. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Father God, I don't know all the reasons why you wanted this message this morning, But yet we do know that each one of us deals with this on an individual basis every day. Will we live self-controlled, or will we live where self is controlled by you, Jesus? We all face it. May we be honest. May we be real. And may we allow you to build a life of under your lordship, under your control. Bless each one. Bless those that couldn't be here. And may you watch over us today, especially those who are traveling back home here today. Watch over them. Bring them home safely. Thank you for your many provisions for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.